Amen. Well, a few months ago, I began a series with you all. It was called Joy Even In. And this is now the continuation of that series, as the first week we talked about joy looking at the book of Philippians. It's an interesting series because when you look at the book of Philippians and you take into consideration the circumstances of the author, you wonder, how can this person have joy? You know, joy is an emotion that we get whenever we're happy, whenever everything is going well. Well, the author is in jail right now, and I don't know about you, I don't know for myself either, but I don't know what jail is like from seeing the movies and hearing about it. I can pretty much tell you that jail is not joyful, but we have Paul with a constant theme as he's writing from the jail cell, that he is calling us, calling believers in Philippians church, to be joyful. So joy is where we started, and we looked at Philippians chapter 1 in the first week of the series. And if you've missed those messages, I encourage you to go on our website and type it in. It's joy even in suffering. And that is what we learned about through Philippians chapter 1, is how can we have joy even in suffering. In chapter 1, Paul writes, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, whenever you face death, it's not fun. I mean, I haven't faced it yet, but it's not going to be fun. It's illness. It's painful. It hurts our hearts. It hurts our body. And Paul is writing to be joyful in suffering, and suffering to be joyful. And the second week, we discuss to have joy even in serving. Paul, one of the verses that he wrote was, "We shouldn't look out for our own interests, but for the interests of others." And so it's this idea that when we serve the body of Christ, that we find joy in that. And so now we're going to continue this sermon series. As we fast forward a little bit, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4 today. We're skipping over chapter 3. I'm going to save that one for next week. But today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, please meet with me in Philippians chapter 4, as we're going to be going into the Word of God here. And the message title for this morning's sermon is Joy Even in Giving. Now, I want you guys to know that after reading Philippians chapter 4, I did think outside the box a little bit just to see the circumstance Paul was writing in. So that's kind of like where this message is coming from. You see, when I was in high school, I was that friend who would come up to you, and without saying, "Hi, how are you doing? Good morning. What's going on in your life?" my first question often would be, "Hey, do you have a dollar that I can borrow?" And I would go up to every single person asking for money. I would ask. And believe it or not, people would give me money. And the problem was, is it's not like I needed the money to go and get food because I had free lunch through the school system. You see, I came from a very poor family where I didn't have a lot of money. My parents didn't have a lot of money to just give us to go to school with. My mom worked really, really hard, but my father, he was a stay-at-home disabled father. And so times financially were very tough for us. And so I would go to school and ask my friends for dollars. And believe it or not, there was days I would leave having about $15 to $20 a day. I know. I used my friends. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. Or it was terrible, actually. But the idea is, I would receive money joyfully. But whenever my friends asked me for a dollar, I was like, "Oh, no, I don't have it." Even though I would have sometimes $10 in my pocket, I would say right away, no, I don't have it. I can't give you $10. I'm sorry, man. See you later. And that was it. You see, the problem was I was what they call a tightwad. I was frugal with my money. And giving money away to me, it seemed impossible because I didn't have the money in my household, and I didn't work a job, so to get a dollar and then give it away, it just didn't make sense to me. So you see, I joyfully received, but I did not joyfully give. And this morning's message is kind of like, it made me think of Paul and his situation. Not that Paul didn't give, Paul did give, but just a bit differently. What we see in Philippians chapter 4 is Paul thanking the people of Philippi for the gifts that he got. And today I don't want to talk about Paul. What I want to talk about is, in fact, the Philippians. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, words will be on the screen. We're going to read about 11 verses here. Paul writes, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's two things that Paul says in here that we want to come back to. But what Paul is doing something right now, he is actually thanking somebody who has given him a gift. In order to thank somebody for giving you a gift, we have to understand somebody gave the gift. The whole idea of this message is that there needs to be joy even in our giving. So what I said is we're not talking about Paul, we're talking about the Philippians, because the Philippians are the ones who gave Paul the gift. I think of them because they gave to Paul's ministry. And I want you guys to put yourself into the Philippians' shoes right now. Just to put yourself in their situation. You see, they know Paul. They heard about Paul. They hear about this massive movement of Christianity taking off through him. They know he's in jail for the sake of the gospel. They know that the gospel's expanding. The Philippians are seeing sinners receive Christ as Savior. They're saved from for eternity. Churches are being established. And get this, Paul is the one out there doing the ministry. The Philippians are not. So what can the Philippians do to be a part of this movement? Well, they can have a huge part of this ministry and this massive movement by joyfully giving and supporting the ministry that Paul has. Now, I know that one of the biggest critics of churches nowadays, that church over there, man, it's all about money. That church is all about money. All they do is care about the passing and the offering. However, we need to understand that those who are called to do the work of God, we need the people of God to joyfully give to the ministry that God is calling ministers to. What we have to see is what the Philippians saw, a ministry that was advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they wanted in on that. Amen? They wanted in on that advancement of the gospel. Now, I don't know about your giving. I don't go online and I don't look at your record books. I promise you I don't. I don't even know what you give outside of our church. But what I do know is that whenever you give, if you're not giving joyfully, something's off. You see, joy comes whenever you are faithfully giving to a ministry. Seeing the work being done, knowing that your tax dollars, knowing that your tithe dollars are at work. I thought about the street signs as you go down on construction sites and you see your tax dollars at work. A little bit different. So, just take the idea of this, for example, as we begin to dig deeper. My wife and I, we support children through Compassion International. We have children that we sponsor, and we send money to them monthly, and this is a huge blessing for us because it fills our heart with complete joy. Knowing that our dollars that we give to them every single month is taking care of their food, is taking care of their water, it's taking care of their education. They're even getting opportunities to be encouraged and encountered with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have ministers looking out for them. And I'll tell you guys this right now. The children that we specifically sponsor, they're orphans. They don't have moms. They don't have dads. A lot of them live with grandma, grandpa. A lot of them have aunts and uncles that they live with. They're hurting. They're in need. A lot of them are actually also in highly exploited areas of sex trafficking. A lot of them are also in AIDS-affected areas. So the need to give to these people, it changes my wife's and my heart. Reason is because now we know that our giving to this ministry is literally changing the trajectory of these children's lives forever. That their lives are literally being changed because of our sacrifice giving to them. You see, heaven is going to be different because of our giving. And that is what I want you guys to focus on as I share this as a part of a testimony. I don't want you guys to miss this message and tune me out right away because I talked about giving. That's what a lot of people do. But you and I have to understand that we're called to serve the church. And Scripture all throughout the Word gives us commands to actually give. I want you guys to read with me. Words will be on the screen. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 26. All day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. And then in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you and your tithes and contributions? You are cursed with the cursed, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. The first point we have to understand of this morning's message is that giving needs to be a priority. Giving needs to be a priority. As we just read in Malachi, we have to understand that we cannot afford to rob God. So we have an obligation to, in fact, give to the ministry of God. But in our giving, it must come from a joyful heart. If not, when you give, it comes out of a system or a budget that you set up. When you give, it should never be based off of your budget, but it should be based off of your income. And let me explain. When I was in premarital counseling a few years ago, one of the topics that came up in the premarital counseling session was, hey, Kevin, let's say you make $50,000 a year, and your budget for the year is $55,000. Do you still tithe? You see, the issue is, my income's 50, my expenses are 55. I'm $5,000 in the hole at the end of the year. And the counselor was saying, do you still tithe? Now, I'll be honest with you. The answer that I gave to the pastor was not what he was looking for, and I'll spare you the argument. But I said, yes, I still tithe. And he's like, no, you don't have the money to tithe. And I turned around to him and I said, listen, sir, you don't understand God's economy. And when you give out of a budget, when you give out of a system that you set up, what you are trying to do is control the way you give. And we need to understand that giving needs to be a priority. So we start prioritizing the way we handle our money. If you need help prioritizing your money, I want to give you a starting point. First of all, you have to understand it's not your money. It's all God's money. Read Deuteronomy 8:18 with me as words are on the screen. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, and that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is in this day. So when we're thinking about where our money needs to go, it needs to go into a priority. I don't know what your priorities are or what your responsibilities are, but I do know that at the top of the responsibilities that you have, if you are a believer in Christ, the top of your responsibility should be, always be, God. You have to understand that the success that you might have in this world, the money that you might have built up, the wealth, all that credit doesn't go to you, it goes to God. He gives us our abilities, he gives us our opportunities, he gives us our talents, he gives us our skills. He gives us our resources, and best of all, God gives us time. He gives us time. The fact that you're alive today is a gift from God. God is a creative spark that puts new ideas into your mind. Everything that we can count on in life that has brought us to quote-unquote success needs to be understood that it came from God first. He is the foundation of everything you possess. And when you see that truth, it should allow you to see giving money to God and His kingdom here on earth to advance the gospel as a priority. And you might think, well, Kevin, I don't have the money to give. I don't have money to just give. And I want you to consider the poor widow that we read about earlier, the poor widow that Jesus witnessed as many rich people were coming and giving an offering that out of their abundance that they were giving large sums. And this poor widow comes and she gives everything that she had, two small copper coins that were only worth a few cents. And here's what Jesus says in response in Mark chapter 12, verse 43 and 44. And he called the disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had and all that she had to live on." I want you guys to understand that I'm not saying that you need to give everything you have to the church. But I am saying that when you give, it needs to come from a joyful heart, no matter what's going to cost you. No matter the sacrifice that's going to take place, I want you to know that you cannot outgive God. And I'm not saying to the person who is already obedient and giving to give even more, but what I am saying is that we need to see that even in our giving, there needs to be joy. It may be an intimidating thing to do, to give money away that you just don't have, but it's really an absolute need. But take heart at what Paul says. He says in verse 12 and 13 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." The second point of this morning's message is giving cannot bring on fears. Giving can't bring fears. No matter what circumstances you're in, don't neglect giving to the kingdom of God. Remember that Paul, he knew what it's like to have everything, and he also knew what it's like to have nothing. But the bottom line of what Paul knew was to be content in any situation that he finds himself in, whether he has all the money in the world or none of the money in the world. Paul is finding the importance of being content. The Christian life was never intended to live out of abundance of money or abundance of possessions. What we need to recognize is that the stuff that is in our lives, money or possessions or whatever it might be, all that on earth here, it doesn't matter. You can pass away today, God forbid, you can pass away today and be in the loving arms of Jesus Christ. And guess what? There's no bank account in heaven. There's no storage systems in heaven where you have to pay a monthly fee to hold all your stuff. There's no direct deposit set up to your heavenly account. None of that exists in heaven. There's no direct transfers that everything that you have here on earth is going to just flash up into the sky with you when you go to be with our Lord. You see, when you pass away, your stuff stays here. Your money stays here. But what does go with you to heaven is the blessings and the crowns that you receive when you're being obedient to God. And those are promises that we get through His Word. You see, the poor widow had nothing. And she gave everything, knowing that God, no matter what, would provide. She sacrificed everything, not worrying, after giving all her money away, what she was going to eat later that day. You see, it may be difficult to see this, but when you give money to this church, your money is literally being stretched across many different missionaries who are actively in the field leading people to Jesus Christ. Those missionaries are spread out all over doing the work of God. Your giving also allows me and Pastor Ray to be able to minister to you and also to have an instrument in leading people to Jesus Christ for the very first time. Your giving to the church and your giving to Trusted Christian Ministries allows you to have a part in lost people finding Jesus Christ. What does this all mean? This means that you are an instrument in lives changing. You are an instrument in eternity being a different place because of you. And yes, that even happens through your resources. Now, if that doesn't get you joyful to give, I don't know what will. And I think of the ministry Evangelism Explosion, which many of us are very familiar with it, and some of us in here are actually trained to do EE work. But did you know that statistically, almost less than just a dollar goes towards the ministry is equivalent to one soul finding Jesus Christ for the very first time? Less than $1 being given to EE leads one person to Christ. That's the statistics that they are able to come out with. The most exciting thing about this life that I have found is that leading someone to Jesus Christ is the most exciting thing that we can experience. Even if I'm the firsthand experience of leading that person to Christ, or if I'm in the resource of it, leading that person to Christ. The fact that I have an instrument, a key instrument in changing somebody's life to have an impact by the word of God, by the teaching of Jesus Christ, that's incredible. That gives me joy. It's a beautiful thing. It overwhelms my heart. It overwhelmed my heart to hear when Dr. Josue came up here and shared with us that over 300 people in the last 2 years have given their life to Jesus Christ through their ministry alone. When he said that, it's like my heart just wanted to cry with joyful tears. Because lives are being changed. Eternity is a different place. Another thing that Paul mentions in this chapter is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." The third point of this message is that when you give joyfully, God will meet your needs. When you give joyfully, God will meet your needs. And I said it earlier, but you would never understand fully God's economy. Now, I have to be careful when I say that, because I'm not saying, and I want to be very clear about this, I'm not saying that if you give $100 today, you get to go home and there's going to be $1,000 sitting in your mailbox. That's prosperity preaching. We are not about that here. But what I am saying is that God will meet your needs, not your wants. See, that's the difference, is that when you give obediently, God will provide for you. He loves you. He cares for you. Now, the Lexus that you need, all the other fancy stuff that you want, I should say, God's not going to provide that. I mean, he can, but it's not a need for you. Those are wants. And God will provide our needs, not so much our wants. Doesn't mean we can't have our wants. We can have our wants if we can get it. But God is going to provide your needs. So what does this teach us? This teaches us, don't be worried about anything. If you give your resources, I know God will provide. It may not be monetary needs that he provides, but just know that God will provide your needs. One thing I can say about God is that he'll always provide. It could be small blessings. It could be really big blessings. My favorite testimonies are when God puts it on individuals' hearts to pray to him because they're in need. And then God, what he does is he works in somebody else's heart to give to that person in need exactly what they need to help them meet the need that they're suffering from. My favorite testimonies is when somebody says, "I needed $100 to buy whatever it was that they absolutely needed, and Joe down the street just came knocking on the door and handed them a check and said, 'Here, I don't know what you're going through, but God put this on my heart to give this to you.' And it's everything that person needed." Those are my favorite type of testimonies. It's happened to me and my wife. Hannah was helping out this family, doing some free stuff for them and helping them get educated about some things and all that. And me and my wife, we hit a financial struggle where we didn't really have the funds to take care of something. And out of prayer, us bringing it to God and saying, "God, you know, our insurance rate just went up on us. Our monthly rent just went up on us. We can't afford this." And out of nowhere, this person, it's like she heard our prayer, but God did. She contacts us and she's like, "Hey, God put it on my heart that your family helps my daughter so much with all this stuff. We want to bless you with this gift. You see, when things like this happen, whenever we go through hard times, this doesn't mean that we stop giving to the church. It doesn't mean we stop giving to ministries. It means that we continue to give, knowing that God will provide our needs. And it's honestly a beautiful thing. Like I said, you'll never understand God's economy because it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, especially to the world. The world would ask you, why would you give money to the church and you don't see any gains from it? It's not like you're investing into it. Yes, you are. You're investing into the kingdom of God. You're investing into eternity. You see, the world's not going to see a spiritual gain, but believers in Christ do. Believers in Christ will see the spiritual gains. And when you see that spiritual gains of giving, you see God at work through your giving. Heaven becomes a different place because of your sacrifice. And God often calls us to give three different things. He calls us to give our time. He calls us to give our talents. And he calls us to give our treasures. So my question to you guys this morning is, what do you have to offer to the ministry, the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I want to close with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, as Paul writes, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, the ministry to preach Christ crucified till the entire world hears about his saving grace, now that's something worth giving to. Be encouraged today, church. It's never too late to start giving, but you are robbing yourself and you're robbing God when you are not giving to his gospel. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this church. I thank you for every single person who is in here this morning, Lord. And Father, I pray that this message was not one that gets anybody angry or more upset with the church that they're all about giving, but to see the worth and the meaningfulness of what it's like to give resources to the church. Sometimes, Father, we are not taught how to give. And Father, I pray that this message was clear enough to those who are unaware of giving, that they would see the need to begin giving. We have to remember, Jesus, that our giving efforts is advancing your kingdom here on earth. And Father, I celebrate in my heart the amazing things that you do through so many pastors, so many different missionaries, field workers, knowing that there's a financial support of believers behind them, allowing them to do what they're called to do. Jesus, we know you haven't called everyone into ministry, but we know you've called all of us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Help us see, Lord, that our giving helps do just that. Encourage us, bless us, change our hearts, Jesus, to give joyfully. I thank you for this message. Allow us to follow through with our convictions. And Father, now to change our mindset a little bit, Father, I pray that you would begin working in our hearts, even now, to prepare our hearts as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper with God's people. So, Father, if there's any unconfessed sin, I pray you'll place that on our heart, that we can come right to you, Jesus, and be forgiven of that sins. We love you, Lord. And it's into your name that we pray. Amen.